us of the promises. We say, you know, we have everything the Bible says we have. We heard this morning about the blessings, the covenant blessings of the Lord, and who we are, you know, because of him, because of who he made us to be and who he is to us. And all of those blessings then, all of that authority in the name of Jesus, the blessings of healing, the blessings of salvation, the blessings of deliverance, the blessings of prosperity, the blessings of peace, the blessings of having the mercy of the Lord released in our hearts, the blessings of reconciliation and interpersonal relationships, all of those things belong to us. All of those things belong to you and belong to me. And so often we settle for so much less, don't we? So much less than what the Lord has for us. And that's why we're here today, to find out how we can stop that, to find out just what these blessings are, to find out how we can activate them in our life, to find out how we can expand our territory, expand our borders, find out what our passion is, find out why the Lord created us, because he created each and every one of us for a purpose. Not by accident are you here. Not by a plan or design of another human being, but because the Lord created you, because he called you into being, because he formed you in your mom's womb, and he knew you and loved you from that very moment of conception. Isn't that wonderful to think? From that very moment of conception. My son Michael and his wife are expecting their second child, the 1st of July. So this is our second grandbaby, and we're just so happy. And they went for the sonogram just this week. And to see that sonogram, you know, if you ever doubt the miraculous way that the Lord forms us, you see that, you know, that tiny baby, that tiny being, and yet so clear. I mean, there was a little foot that was just so clear, and a little hand, you know, that we could see. And I thought, you know, the Lord knows this baby. The Lord knows every step it's going to take throughout its life, the good things and the not so good things. The Lord has already called it by name, carved it in the palm of its hand, and will be with this child from now to all eternity. And that's how it is with us. That's how it was with us when we were being formed. And you know, sometimes there isn't anyone in our life that has told us that. Sometimes for whatever reason, because of the pain perhaps that would have been in your mom's life or your dad's life, they weren't able to articulate to you feelings of love and affection, to let you know that you are valued, to let you know that you're loved, to let you know that you're acceptable. And so then we grow up not knowing that, not believing that about ourselves. And then it can become very difficult when we hear this wonderful message that the Lord has for us, when we hear about these wonderful promises and blessings and all the inheritance that is ours because of who we are in him. It sounds almost too good to be true, doesn't it? It sounds like, you know, is that possible? But it is possible. It's not only possible, it's a reality for each and every one of us. But what we need to do is to plug into that. What we need to do is activate that in our life. We can have many good things in our life that makes our life easier. But if we don't use those things, if we don't take advantage of even those things in the world that make life easier for us, you know, then it's as if we don't have them. So it's the same with the Lord's blessings. We need to know what they are, and in knowing what they are, even if you don't feel it, it's not about a feeling, it's about faith. And faith isn't a feeling. Faith is believing in those things that we have not yet seen or felt, you may say. So that's what we're about today. You know, we heard this morning about the blessings and how Jabez prayed the blessings and for the blessings of the Lord, and what he asked was given. It's that simple. What he asked was given. He prayed, he asked in faith, believing that what he asked was going to happen, and it did. And so that's why we're here, to see how can we better do that in our life. You know, and the intercessions of Jabez first was that the Lord would bless him. Bless me indeed. And that means, you know, really bless me. Give me that your fullness of your blessing. And enlarge my territory. Or different translations will say, enlarge my boundaries. So that means that, you know, that the Lord wants to expand our life. The Lord wants to give us a vision far greater than we already have for our life. The Lord wants us to live our life according to His purposes. Now, in the through the prayer of Jabez, the request that Jabez made for territory in the Old Testament was looked upon and came down as a desire for land, a desire for wealth, a desire for greater influence. However, that's not what we're talking about. When we move into the New Testament, we see how God's plan for expanding our territory, God's plan for expanding our boundaries, is found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. And the scripture says this. You can just jot down the scripture because we have a whole lot of good things to go through, a lot of information to go through. So just jot it down, and then you can look it up in your own personal time. But the scripture is this. It's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. 1 Peter 2:9. And this is spoken to you. It's saying you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are His own special people, that you may proclaim, you're created so that you may proclaim the praises of the God who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. For once you were no people, but now you are God's people. Once there was no mercy for you, but now you have found mercy. Amen. So through that, the whole idea of expanding our territory, expanding our borders, we're not talking about properties, we're not talking about land, we're not talking about finances, although the Lord wants to prosper us too in our financial realm, and we'll be talking about that. But we're talking about knowing who we are, knowing our identity, knowing that you were chosen, that you are a chosen people, you're a royal priesthood, priests, people set apart to do God's work, to do God's bidding, to bring about God's plan. And that's what all of you are. That's what we are as we gather here today. And we were brought out of darkness. Now, there's still some darkness in all of our lives, I'm sure. And so today the Lord wants to shine light into those areas of darkness and bring them into the light so that we can be free of those areas of darkness. We say, once there was no mercy for us, the scripture says, but now we have found mercy. But mercy, in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, the Bible says that the mercies of the Lord are new every day, so great is His faithfulness. So mercy is not just a one-time thing. It isn't that we're in the dark, we repent, we confess, we receive the Lord's mercy, and that's it for us. Mercies are new each and every day. So every day, when you go before the Lord and ask for His mercy in certain areas of your life, in certain areas of your being, in certain areas in your relationships, whatever it may be, it's as if you've never asked before. It's as if His mercy chart for you is full and brand new. And whatever amount of mercy you need, He floods that into your soul and into your being. So don't get discouraged if you have to keep on asking. Don't get discouraged if you keep falling back, you know, into areas where you know you shouldn't be. What you need to do is repent, which means turn away from the darkness, turn into the light, and know that as you do that, His mercies for you are fresh and new every day. So great is His faithfulness. And the Bible tells us in 1 John that if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Wash you clean. Cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Looks at you and looks at me just as if we have never sinned. Isn't that wonderful? So we need to know that. We need to start there. If we're going to broaden our life, if we're going to expand our territory, if we're going to expand our borders, we need to know that and we need to believe that. You don't have to feel it. It may sound like one of those things that's too good to be true. We're not talking about feelings. We're talking about faith. We believe it because God said it. And if He said it, we believe it. And as we live in that, and I'm sure you could probably give witness to this with other in other different areas or arenas of your life, as you act in faith and not wait for the feeling, but just step out and act in faith, what happens is the feeling follows. Have you ever noticed that? That as you act in faith, not feeling it, but believing it, just because we make a decision. We make a decision to believe it, you know. We're maturing. That's what mature people do. You know, they don't just do what they feel like doing. You know, I work with little children during the week. And they do, you know, they're ruled and governed by their feelings. And that's age appropriate. That's where they should be at this particular time in their life. However, we should move out of that as we mature. We should move out of that, you know, as we have more of life's experience, you know, in our hearts and in our minds and in our beings. And so we're not waiting for the feeling then. We're standing in faith, believing in those things we have not yet seen, acting as if we believe it. And then what happens is, as we do that and we're faithful to the Lord's word, those feelings then will follow. Amen?
Amen.
So part of this, saying you're a royal priesthood, you're chosen and you're a royal priesthood, means that being, you know, a priest biblically is to reach out and to help other people, to reach out and draw others closer to the Lord, to reach out, you know, and minister and bring the saving power of Jesus to other people. You know, it isn't just, you know, we tend, particularly those of us of the Catholic faith, think of the priests as those ordained men and that they're the priests, and we don't think of ourselves that way, but that is biblically, you know, that is not a correct biblical understanding of the royal priesthood. That means certainly it's those people whose lives have been set apart and marked out in that way, but it's not only those people, it's every man and woman who sees themselves as that chosen race, you know, who has given their hearts and their minds over to the Lord Jesus, who has said, Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior, be in the center of my life. Like when you draw that circle of your life and you put the cross in the center, it's because you want everything in your life to revolve around that and to move around the Lord Jesus Christ, that he governs your life. So anyone who has done that, and I know you have, you know, you are the royal priesthood. So you are called then. You are called to share and to minister to other people and to share the good news. Scripturally, when we look at all the stories about Philip and Peter and all of the Lord's disciples, we can see that they did that. They were men who accepted the commission of Jesus to go into the world with the good news. And then they waited for the power of the Holy Spirit so they could do it. That's found in Luke 24, verse 49. Luke 24, 49 says, behold, I send the promise of my Father. The promise of my Father, that's the Holy Spirit. The promise of my Father upon you, but wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. That's why it's so important for us to open ourselves completely to what the Lord is doing in this time, in our day, in our church, in our gatherings, you know, to get more and more of the Holy Spirit, to learn more and more about that third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, to know what his gifts are, to know what the charisms of the Holy Spirit are, because that's what he wants to do with us and through us. He wants to bring that power when the power falls upon us, you know, that again is not just a one-time thing. Well, you may have, okay, you've been confirmed and maybe you've gone to then receiving a fullness of the baptism in the Spirit through prayer as an adult and making an adult decision. That's great, and that's where we need to be. But we need to keep doing that. We need to keep asking, you know, Lord, fill me today. Fill me afresh today. Because there's areas in us that leaks out that power. You know, when we don't use the power as we should, when we're not aware of it, when we're not responding to that small inner voice within that's calling us to do certain things or to share the Lord with other people. You know, so we need to be asking the Lord, you know, fill me afresh, fill me afresh. So we're asking questions like, what does the territory mean and where is mine? And you might want to jot these down because these are questions that I would like you to pray about and ask the Lord to show you. Maybe by the end of this teaching, you'll know many of the answers. But then again, maybe you won't. And so we don't want to lose sight. We don't want to lose sight of this. And we always say in Restoration Ministries that we'll forget, but our notes won't. That's right. That's why it's good to write it down. So what does my territory mean? How could God work through me to reach others? You may already know that, but maybe you already know a part of that, and there's a whole other area that the Lord wants to reveal to you. What would my life look like if God enlarged my borders or enlarged my territory? And what keeps me from reaching out to the Lord for more territory? What holds me in my same spot? What keeps me from just thinking in the box and not stepping out of the box and thinking in new and different and broader and innovative and exciting ways? What holds me back from that? So you may say, well, how do I know what God has planned for my life? Well, because we believe that the scriptures have all the answers to every question we ever ask. How many believe that? All right. And we know that's true. Whatever we're dealing with, whatever questions we may have, whatever guidance we may need, all the answers are found in the Bible. If we take time to look, if we pray about it, and if we have ears to hear the Lord speaking and eyes to see his plan for us. So when we say, how do I know what God has planned for my life? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, verse 6, and verses 10 and 11. So it's Ephesians 1, 3, Ephesians 1, 6, and Ephesians 1, 10 and 11. The scripture says this: Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. Blessed us. Blessed you and me with every spiritual blessing to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved, made us accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him, drawing all together in him, in his heart. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. So those blessings we heard about this morning, our inheritance, that's what was left us, that was willed to us. So that's ours now, our inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So what this is saying is we have this inheritance from the Lord. He has predestined us. That means he chose us. He had a plan for us, that you have a destiny in him. Your life is just not meant to muddle through. Your life is not just meant to be lived in a way just to make a living and live for the weekends or 5 o'clock. Your life is meant to make a difference, and a difference with an eternal perspective. You know, the things we do here and now, you know, that last for the day or last for the week or the month and all, they can be very good things, but they're fleeting things. The Bible says they're transitory things. They're passing away even as we do them. So we want to be focused on those things that will live on forever, that have eternal consequences, that have eternal value. Though that's where we're going to be looking today. That's what we're meaning. And what the scripture means when it talks about enlarging my territory, spreading out my boundaries. So we're going to look at 10 key questions that will help us discover, what is my passion? What is my destiny? What have I been predestined to do? Why am I here? And when we find that, you know, the wonderful thing with this is, when we find the answer to this, and what it is, it's not that you decide what the answer is. We don't decide our destiny. We discover it. It's already there. You know, the Lord has already predestined you. So it's inside of you. What we need to do is to find it, to take time to find what it is, to take time to hear that small, still small voice, to take time to know what our passion in life is, to know what sets us ablaze. Those of you who watched the opening ceremonies of the Olympics last night, you saw that that whole theme was, you know, to find the light. And that little boy was the child of the light, and he was skating all around with the light, and they were searching for the light. And you saw then the analogies of the story, how there was the negative that was trying to crush out the light, and you know, like the dark side, the evil side, but how that light kept coming forward, and how when they finally found it, you know, the light was also described as a fire, a blaze within. So, and I thought that's exactly what we're looking for here. When we talk about expanding our territories, expanding our boundaries, you know, and they said that that whole theme of being people of the light and looking for the fire within will be carried out throughout these next 2 weeks. So I'm mentioning that to you so every time you watch those Olympics and you turn that on, that hopefully you'll think of that and you'll keep looking, you know, for your light inside, and you'll keep looking for that fire to get brighter and brighter and brighter, because that's what this is all about, isn't it? So, 10 key questions. Okay. To ask yourself, what is the deepest desire of your heart? What do you desire? In Psalm 37:4, it says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. If we delight ourselves in him, he'll give us the desires of our heart. Now, as I delight in knowing and serving God, he places desires within me. He places desires within you. He causes us to desire those things that are in his plan for our life. So he creates that hunger, you know, in us that we desire as we delight in him, as we spend time with him, that we start to then desire those things that he has placed in our hearts. He gives us the desire. The desire comes from the Lord. Now, natural things and spiritual things are granted to all of us. Just as a father on earth desires to give good gifts, and a mother decides to give good things and wants to give good things to their children, so our Heavenly Father desires to give good things to his children, to you and to me. Sometimes we hear, and certain religions may teach, that desires are wrong and desires are evil and desires should be pushed down, or desires should be denied or suppressed, that we need to feel guilty for having desires and never expect the Lord to fulfill them. And that's one of the reasons, oftentimes, why we don't, if you know, you're thinking along those ways that, well, if I want it, it must not be good. And I'm sure you've heard people say that. Well, I want it, it must not be, doesn't look spiritual enough. It must not be what the Lord really wants me to do. You know, and that's not true. That's one of the reasons why so often, you know, we don't pursue this and we don't push on with this. Oftentimes, people that believe that or were formed in that for whatever reason aren't able to deal with the conflict within of having desires and feeling guilty about them. But desire is not only a God-given gift within us, it's part of the development of the destiny in our life. He gives us desires so that we reach our destiny. He gives us desires so that we get to the point of being where he wants us to be. The young man who loves to talk and can't be quiet in class may someday communicate truths to others that will change the lives of the listeners. The young woman who loves to tell everyone what to do and take control of every situation may someday manage and govern other people and draw them closer to the Lord. There's a story told about a man who was in a church, and he talked about the evils of his desire. He'd been raised in a church that taught that whatever he desired was probably either of his flesh or probably of the devil. In fact, he thought the thing that he really didn't want to do was probably just what God wanted him to do. In his mind, his destiny was found in the thing that he despised the most. And by doing what he didn't really want to do, he felt he was being more spiritual. You ever heard people like that? There's a pastor that says, and I'm quoting, "It's hard enough for God to get people to be productive Christians by calling them to do what they truly desire. It would be next to impossible to get them to produce good fruit by doing something that they don't desire." So, people said, and I remember hearing a person say something similar to this, you know, I don't want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I don't want to put him in the center of my life because he might tell me to go off to Africa and be a missionary, and I don't want to go to Africa. Now, and we laugh at that, and that sounds silly. However, how many times, or even today, are we keeping God, are we keeping the Lord at arm's length because we're afraid to let down those boundaries? We're afraid to let down, what's he going to ask of me? You know, my life is going along pretty well. I'm healthy, I'm happy. I like my life now. You know, I want to keep it this way. If I let down those boundaries, what's he going to ask of me? What am I going to have to do? And so because of that, I mean, we laugh at the guy with the, you know, that doesn't want to go to Africa. But what's our Africa? What areas are we saying that about in our own life? How are we holding the Lord at arm's length? Because we're really not convinced that he'll only bring good things to us. We're really not convinced that he'll give us our desires. If he wants you to go to Africa, he'll first put Africa in your heart. He'll give you the desires of your heart. And that's true. You know, he will first put that desire or that passion in our hearts. The Lord's given us a free will. He knows our personalities. He knows our gifts. He knows our talents. He uses those things and causes us to desire experiences that offer excitement, fulfillment, and satisfaction. He wants you to be happy, and he wants you to be happy in his work and in his ministry. What is a desire, you might say? We all have had whims. We've all had fantasies. We've all had wishes throughout our life. But these are not desires. They're passing thoughts. We all hear stories when talk to our children about the little boy who one day wants to be a baseball player, and maybe later that day wants to be a fireman, and then that night wants to be a policeman. All in the same day, he mentions all these different things. And what he's doing is he's trying on his dreams. He's learning to distinguish his desires from his fantasies. As parents, we can help our children, even our big children, sort out these things. Because fantasies come and they go, but desires last a lifetime. You can probably, you're probably sitting there, you can think about some of your different whims and fantasies. I think I'd like to be this or do that, or I think the Lord's calling here or there. And then all of a sudden, that's gone. And you say, boy, I haven't thought about that in a long time. Gee, remember when I really thought I was on fire for this, and this is what the Lord was calling me to do, and I haven't thought about that in months. That's because that wasn't the desire of your heart. It might have been a passing whim, a fantasy, something you thought about, but it wasn't the desire. The desire you feel to speak, the desire you feel, whether it is to speak, whether it is to sing, whether it is to create, whether it's to manage, whether it's to build, is there because the Lord put it there. He put that desire within you. And as you separate your deep, heartfelt desires from your fantasies and from your ideas, you will be drawn to study and prepare to do those things that you have that desire for or that passion for. When we register to go to college, when your kids have registered to go to college, the first thing they'll say is, well, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? What do you want to major in? Everyone knows that your desire is linked to your destiny. So that question is asked because that desire, the answer to that question is linked to that young person, that young man or woman's destiny of how they're going to live out their life. Desire, as God created it, is a positive force, a positive power. And you will discover your destiny as you clarify the things you really want, the things you really want. So the second question is, what stirs your passion? What stirs up your passion? Now, what do we mean by this? Well, passion is that zeal, that fire, that excitement, that intensity that you feel about things that are important to you. Let me say that again. It's a zeal. It's a fire. It's an excitement. It's an intensity that you feel inside of you when you are doing something or thinking about something that's really important to you. Passion is powerful. In the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verse 15, Jesus cleansed the temple. He drove out the animals and the money changers and overturned their tables because they had made the house of God a den of thieves. the disciples, looking back, remembering that, and we see this in Psalm 69:9, the psalm says this, "Zeal for your house has consumed me." Or another translation says, "Zeal for your house has eaten me up." Jesus was consumed with such passion for the sacredness of the house of God that he became violent. Jesus, the Lamb of God, Jesus, the Lamb of the Father, was so consumed with what he saw because his passion, you know, and his love and his fire and excitement, everything was about, you know, his Father's house and what moved in and out of that and how that was there to bring about, you know, all the good things for God's people. And then seeing it being made in such as like a den of thieves, you know, with the money changers and the sacrificial animals being brought there and so forth, that we all have images, I'm sure, of that scripture where he came in and he threw over the temples, threw over the tables, and he tossed them out of the temple, telling them to leave, that you've made my Father's house a den of iniquity. That's passion. That's passion. You know, you knew he was passionate about this. So when you're passionate about something, you have strong feelings about it. Strong feelings.